Thank you, Carmen. Appreciate that. The blessing in that message and song, Fill My Cup, Fill It Up and Make Me Whole. Amen. I do trust that's your desire today to let God fill your cup and to make you whole. Amen. Well, we're just going to give a few introductory remarks of background information on this. And if you've not been with us the entire time, we started this way back in the beginning of, March. No, probably about the end of February, amen, after covering Psalm 121. I'm trying to figure out how you and I can be the blessed man or the blessed woman. And we found out some things that we have to do based upon verses 1, 2, and 3 in our lives. And once we do those things, then you and I truly can be categorized as blessed or happy. But then we came down to this ungodly man. And we found him down there in verse number 4. The ungodly man, we saw him in his likeness in verse number 4. And we found out that he was driven by his desires and helpless. Notice what it says in verse 4. The ungodly are not so, not like the blessed man, but are like, notice this, the chaff which the wind driveth away. And we found out like chaff, he's helpless against Satan's desires. He's helpless against sin's desires. And he's helpless against his own selfish desires. He just can't help himself when it comes to his desires. He has no control and no boundaries. And so we saw the ungodly man in his likeness. Then verse 5, we saw the ungodly man in his lostness, how lost he is. He's doomed at death and he's hell-bound. We found that he's hell-bound in judgment, hell-bound in the congregation. Notice verse 5. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And so irregardless of where he stands, whether he's going to stand in the congregation in church, he's still hell-bound until he gets saved. Or at the end of the line, he's going to hand up at the great white throne judgment. So either way, he's hell-bound, and he needs to be born again. He needs to be saved. He needs to repent of his sins. He needs to find out and recognize that he's in danger. He's hell-bound, amen, and he's doomed at death. And that is not a good man that you want to be, and we talked about that last week. In his likeness and in his lostness. Today, we're going to look at verse number 6. The ungodly man is distinguished from the delivered. He's distinguished from the delivered. Notice verse 6. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. By the way, there is a separation between the righteous man, which is the blessed man, and the ungodly man. There is a difference. Hey, let me tell you something. Don't make the same mistake that I made. Amen. Say, preacher, what mistake is that you made? I made the mistake by looking at people who said they were Christians. And as I looked at people who said they were Christians, I said, man, if that person say they're a Christian, I'm just as good as they are. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen. Hey, y'all know y'all had your eyes on some would-be Christians or some say they were Christians or some used-to-be Christians or would have been a Christian. And I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I looked at these five. I said, man, look at your life. I'm like, if you saved, I got to be saved. And guess what? I thought if God is saving them and they say they're saved, I must be saved. So God, when you look down from heaven, you know I'm just as saved as they are. That's a grave mistake to make. Because I don't care how sinful they may be. I don't care how filthy they may be. If they are a child of God, guess what? They are saved, and God looks at them differently than he looks at me. And so don't make the mistake I made and say, well, I'm going to judge my Christianity by you, and I'm just as much a Christian as you. I went to church like you went to church. I read my Bible like you read your Bible. I gave to the church like you gave to the church. I prayed like you prayed. But guess what? If they're saved, I ain't saved. Hear me now. I made that mistake much of my adult life thinking these people went to church and said they're saved. These people went to church and said they're saved. I got baptized and said I'm saved. And guess what? I must be like them. Hey, there is a difference. God makes a difference. And just because the righteous man or the blessed man has some faults and has some foolish sins that he commits, guess what? He's still distinguished from the delivered.
Yes, sir.
Amen. There is a distinction between the saved man and the unsaved man. Hey, I'm here to tell you something. Moses killed an Egyptian. Guess what? He was still a man that God knew. David was a man after God's own heart. He not only committed adultery, but he murdered, and then he didn't confess it right away. Hey, guess what? He was still distinguished from everybody else. Hey, there was over in the New Testament, Paul killed some Christians. Guess what? He was still different from everybody else. What am I saying? Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times.
Yes, sir.
And guess what? He was still distinguished. What am I saying? God distinguishes us from everybody else. This ungodly man is distinguished from the delivered. There is a difference between the two of them. And God doesn't look at you the same as he looks at someone else when you have the blood of Jesus Christ on your life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's good to be saved. Hey, you might find yourself in the midst of a multitude, but guess what? If all of the multitude is unsaved and you're saved, guess what? God sees you differently than he sees everybody else. Hey, therefore, the Lord knoweth the way of the godly or the righteous. The way of the ungodly should perish. God sees us. God knows us. And so you got the first three that were all linked up together. 1, 2, and 3 talk about the blessed man. Then you got 4 and 5 talk about the ungodly man. And then verse number 6 talks about both men together. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. What am I saying here? There's a separation between the righteous and the ungodly. God knows both of their ways. The way of the righteous leads to heaven. The way of the ungodly leads to hell. Hear me now. If you're not saved to today, you need to get saved.
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, we're all sitting here in church. We're all fine. Therefore, what does it say, verse number 5? Therefore, the ungodly should not stand in the judgment. No sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Hey, I don't care where you're sitting at today. If you're not saved, one day you're going to stand at the great white throne of Christ and get judged. Say, preacher, he would never do that. I'd get to heaven and make a deal with God. There will be no deals made in heaven because the deal is already sealed. You accept the Son or you suffer. Well, that's not fair to the Islamics. That's not fair to the Buddhists. That's not fair to Confucius. That's not fair to, hey, it's not fair to Jesus' Son who died for sin. Amen. There's only one man that said he was God's Son and died for the sins of the world. His name is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so all religions, all people, all roads got to go through Christ. It's Jesus or nothing. Preacher, I don't believe that. Well, you can take it up with God at the great white throne judgment if you don't get saved. Why? They're not going to stand in the judgment. No sinners in the congregation of the right. They can't do it. Then you can't stand. And so he begins to do a separation here today. And I want to plead with you for a few moments about this area here, about the way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly. Just for a few moments. Amen. Because the Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen. Let's consider, first of all, there is the way of the righteous. Notice verse number 6 again with me. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. And by the way, let me, just by illustration, I know my wife. Why? I chose her as my bride. But guess what? She had to choose me. I know my assistant pastor. I chose him as my assistant pastor. Wait a minute. He had to choose me. He had to say, look, preacher, I know you want me, but I want you too.
Amen.
Hey, I know my wife. I chose her. I know my assistant pastor. I chose him. I know my teachers. I chose him. I know my treasurer. I chose him. I know my sound men. I chose him. I know my ushers. I chose them. I know everybody who is in the position of authority. Why? I chose them.
That's right, pastor.
And because I know them, they know me. Hey, because God chose us, he is the one who knows us. He says, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Think about a mother. Mother at a park or at the mall. There's a whole lot of kids in the mall. Guess what? That mama knows her own kids. She knows that voice. She knows that cry. She knows that mommy. She knows her ways. She knows his ways. And so she can go to the mall. She can go to the park. And there may be 1,000 other kids there. Guess what? Mama knows where her kid is at.
That's right, Pastor. Amen.
She keeps her eye on her kid.
Yes, she
that is a different story.
Yes,
you go buy one of these TV monitors up there with the sports channel dads. Who's winning the game? You can be at a restaurant. They got the TV playing up there. And dads are looking at the score. The kids run around to the restaurant.
Yeah.
Not moms. Moms know where their kids are at.
Amen.
They know their children. They know what they do. They know their ways. Hey, the Bible says the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The Lord knows us. May I submit to you that The same way the mom knows the child, in the same way I know my wife, in the same way I know my assistant pastor and my teachers, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Much the same way, like a mom keeps a vigilant eye and an ear for her own kids, she knows them. Moms can look through a bunch of kids and still spot her own. She can go through a bunch of voices and still spot her own. They hear their own voices. They know their child's ways. Dads sometimes get tunnel vision and get lost in the shuffle, but not moms. God, with his watchful eye, keeps a vigilant check on his own, because the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The Bible states in 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord know them that are his. And the Lord knoweth them that are his. Psalms 37:18 says it this way. The Lord knoweth the days of the unright, of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. 1 Peter 3:12 says it this way. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Proverbs 5:21 says it this way. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. God knows who are those that are delivered, and they are distinct amongst sinners and saints alike.
That's right.
What am I saying?
Amen,
God sees everything that we do as delivered saints. And I don't care if we're in church where maybe a majority of people are saved, God still sees us. Or whether it's all sinners, God still sees us.
That's right.
Why? The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Just like that mom looking over all the kids playing, her eyes on her own and in the midst of them all. By the way, let me submit this to you. We may not always do right. We may not always do the right thing. We may not always say the right things. We may not always go to the right places. We may not always be the right type of Christian. Right, but let me tell you something, friend. If you're saved, you got the right type of blood. And that's righteous blood. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the blood that makes a difference. Yes, we may not always act like saved people. We may act like heathens sometimes. We may say things that heathens would say. We may watch things that heathens say. We may look like heathens sometimes. We may dress like heathens sometimes. We may drink like heathens sometimes. We may smoke like heathens sometimes. Hey, but there's a difference. We've been delivered.
Yes, sir, we have, Pastor. We have.
And God knows the way of the righteous. Now, I'm not making any excuses for sin either. I'm just coming to grips with the fact of the matter. Sometimes we're like Peter and we deny the Lord. I'm just coming grips with the fact that sometimes we're like David. Maybe adultery is committed with another woman in our hearts. I'm just coming to grips with the fact that sometimes we commit murder like he did with Uriah because we kill someone's testimony or steal someone's purity or take something that doesn't belong to us. I'm just coming to grips with the fact that I'm real people just like you're real people. And because we're real people, we're real sinners. But the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous.
Yes, sir.
So I don't care who we're amongst. I don't care who we're with. I don't care what we're doing. God sees us and God knows us. And friend, there's a difference between these two people.
Right.
Even though you may act like the ungodly, God still knows who you are.
He does.
Just like that mom knows who her children are. There is a difference. I want us to consider, first of all, under the way of the righteous. The righteous is delivered in spite of his or her foolishness. The righteous is delivered in spite of his or her foolishness. Do you know you and I can do some foolish things? Say amen if you agree with that. As saved people, we can do some foolish things. We can make some dumb decisions, amen? We can do some dumb things. We can say some dumb things. We can watch some dumb things. We can do some things that are just not wise. And God knows our ways even when we, as righteous people, make foolish decisions. We may not always choose wisely in life. We're going to consider a guy by the name of Lot. We looked at him last week in Sunday school. You know, Lot had several foolish things. First of all, Lot looked wrong. He looked at Sodom and Gomorrah and said, you know, that looked pretty good. You know why it looked pretty good to him? Because he had a picture of Egypt in his mind. Egypt is always a picture of the world. And Lot looked wrong. And because Lot looked wrong, Lot chose wrong. And not only did Lot look wrong and Lot chose wrong, he looked long. He looked wrong, but then he looked long, and then he chose wrong. Hey, let me tell you something. You look at it long enough, you're probably going to choose it. Can I get amen?
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Young boys, you look at them girls, you might mess around. Young girls, you look at them boys, you may mess around. Hey, you look at it wrong enough, you're going to choose wrong. Hey, why do you think the advertising industry is such big business? Why do they run a commercial over and over and over and over again? If I start getting a jingle out there, you guys say, oh, that's this. Because they know if they can put it before you long enough, you'll probably say, you know what? I think I'll have that brand. You know what? I think I'll go buy that. They took the cigarettes off, but they left the liquor on. You can't watch a football game or a basketball game and not see a beer commercial. Hey, you can't watch television, not see something about one of these sexual drive things that you need to purchase. You can't watch something. Why? They know it's big business. If they can put it before you long enough, they know you might take it.
That's right, Pastor.
Now, I submit to you that good Christian people sometimes get caught up in looking wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And looking long. And then as a result, choosing wrong. And that's exactly what Lot did. He looked wrong. He looked long. Then he chose wrong. And because he chose wrong, he moved wrong.
Yes, he did.
Wait a minute, if I'm supposed to go that way, but I go that way, guess what? I chose wrong. If the man of God goes that way, I just think I had good success with Abraham. I might as well stay with Abraham. Amen. But he looked wrong.
Yes, he did.
He looked long. And as a result, he chose wrong. And then he moved wrong. Preacher, what are you talking about? In the end, you find him dwelling wrong. And when you look wrong, and you look long, and then you choose wrong, and then you dwell wrong, there's a final devastation that happened. His family turned out wrong.
Yes, sir, he did.
Because he was in the wrong place that he should never been. And Lot's children committed incest with their father. Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt.
Yes, sir, he did.
He lost his wife. He lost his two daughters' virginity to incest. And they were at constant war with Israel. And with all those foolish decisions, do you think God said, you don't belong to me? Anybody that can look wrong and then look long on purpose and then choose wrong and then dwell wrong and then move in wrong and then live wrong and then your family is wrong and then you lose your wife wrong and you lose your children wrong, I don't know you. Get away from me. Do you think God said that? Turn over to 2 Peter with me. You're in Psalms now, 2 Peter. What am I saying? The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The righteous is delivered in spite of foolishness. He made all sorts of mistakes here. He looked wrong. He looked long. He chose wrong. He moved wrong. He dwelled wrong. His family turned out wrong. He lost his wife wrong. He lost his children wrong. But you come to 2 Peter chapter number 2. The Bible talking about destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. And notice what it says in 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 7. After destroying Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 6, it says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example and sample unto those that after should live. How? Ungodly. Hey, what did it say? The ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly should not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Why? For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The ungodly perish there. But notice verse 7. And delivered just Lot. Hey, you say, well, you know what? I got these ungodly over here. There's a separation between them and between my anointed. I know he lived wrong. I know he looked wrong. I know he looked long. I know he chose wrong. I know he dwelt wrong. I know he moved wrong. I know he lost his family wrong. I know he lost his wife. He lost his daughter wrong. Hey, but I know him. You talk about the grace of God. The grace of God around this foolishness and the decisions that he made that were all wrong. God said, I still know him. I still know him. Now, again, that's not a license for you and I to sin. That's just to show you the grace and the mercy of God. God said, I know him. Yeah, he made some bad decisions. Yeah, he should have stuck with Abraham. He should have done right. But God said, you know what? I know him. I know him. Friend, I don't care where you're at today. If you're saved, God knows you. Now, that's not an excuse for sin. God will beat the devil out of you. Can you imagine losing your daughters to incest and losing your wife, your joy, and then destroying a whole city over sin? And you happen to be in the midst of that? Can you imagine that? And he's got to live with that on his head? But what did it say? And delivered just Lot. What happened to Lot? It says, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. He didn't like being there. It got to his righteous soul. Verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Hey, let me give you the equivalent. When you hear a bad word, it should vex your soul. When you see a filthy scene, it should vex your soul. When you see that beer commercial, it should vex your soul. When you see that alcohol and drugs and pornography, it should vex your righteous soul. You should have no peace looking at it. When you pick up that cigarette, it should vex your soul. When you take those drugs, it should vex your soul.
Amen, Pastor.
When you turn on your television and see all this nudity and promiscuity and profanity and immorality, it should vex your righteous soul. You see these commercials of these supposedly sitcoms with a gay and alternate lifestyles propelling it as this normal. It should vex your soul. It should vex your soul. How many of y'all heard about Ireland? Ireland yesterday legalized gay marriage in the country yesterday by popular vote. One priest came out and said he's gay too. That stuff should vex your righteous soul. They said, well, we think there's going to be problems with the church now. If folks got saved, got right with God, it wouldn't be any problems anywhere. Hey, but the ungodly God's going to judge. He says, hey, Sodom and Gomorrah's fire, brimstone rained down upon them, but just Lot got rescued. Why? The Lord knows who's his. And what am I saying? When you hear that filth, when you hear that stuff, it should vex your soul. When you see stuff that you know is not right, it should get you right here. And you should say, oh, God, I got to turn it off. Oh, God, I got to look away. Oh, God, I can't see that. Oh, God, I can't drink that. Oh, God, I can't smoke that. Oh, God, I can't say that. God is filthy. But some Christians get so anesthetized to it, doesn't bother them at all. Where's that self-conscious we need to have? Where's that spirit in you that says, that's not right. That's not. That's not right. Get away from that. Hey, we can sear our conscience with a hot iron. We can get so anesthetized to sin, and it's normal. Hey, we can get used to people living together and shanking up. And even the woman at the well had to admit, he said, go call thy husband. She said, I got none. He said, you've answered right. The ones you had before and the one you're living with now is not your husband.
That's right, Pastor.
But we get used to that. Well, living together, that's what people, you know, that's what we do. That's not what the godly do. That's not what the righteous do. Hey, the righteous he knoweth. Lot here made some foolish decisions, but yet and still, God still knows him. That's hope for you, and that's hope for me. Yet God knew him as righteous, even amongst unrighteous people. Notice what it says down there in verse number 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. What am I saying here? The righteous is delivered in spite of his foolishness. We may not always live right. We may not always do right. But friend, if you got the right blood, God knows you.
Amen.
You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. You've got to trust in the stains of Jesus Christ's blood, of his righteous blood on your life. He died for your sins so that you wouldn't have to pay for your own sins. We see the righteous is delivered in spite of his foolishness. Go to an obscure book, the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah and chapter number 3. There's a guy by the name of Joshua. Joshua happens to be the high priest at this time. And Joshua is standing before the Lord, and Satan is trying to resist him. I want us to notice this. Not only is the righteous delivered in spite of his foolishness, the righteous is delivered in spite of his filth. Zechariah 3 says, and he showed me, verse number 1, Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. And Satan standing at his right hand. Now, the angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ before he came down to be the sacrifice for sins. But notice this, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. The word resist means to attack him, to accuse him, to be an adversary. So in other words, you've got Zechariah preaching about Joshua the high priest, and Joshua is being attacked and accused by the adversary, but the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, is right there as well. What am I saying here? In Lot's case, he was delivered in spite of his foolishness. Over here, we're going to see Joshua delivered in spite of his filth. Verse number 2. The Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Hallelujah. I'm glad to know that when Satan comes to attack me, to resist me, to accuse me, I've got God on my side. Why? I know him. I know him. Hey, I may be foolish. I may have filth. Hey, but I know him and he knows me. I'm not always going to do right. Not always going to say it right. Not always going to go to the right places. But I know him and he knows me. And he knows the attacker. He knows the accuser. He knows the resister. And guess what? There is a difference between me and everybody else. Hallelujah. He says, now Joshua was clothed with what kind of garments? Filthy garments. Represent the filthiness of the nation. Why? He's the high priest. And stood before the angel. I like what God does. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. Hallelujah. Praise God. What am I saying? Hey, I may be in a filthy position. I may be in a foolish position, but the Lord said, I know him. I know him. My blood was shed for him. That's my son. I know him. Hey, what am I saying here? Hey, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. We may not always live right. But if you got the right blood, guess what? God's on your side. And if you filthy long enough, he's going to beat the filth off of you. Hey, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. That's Bible. What does that mean? I'm going to beat my kids to get them right. God's going to beat his kids to get them right. Preacher, God is love. Because I love my kids, that's why I beat them.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What am I saying? The righteous is delivered in spite of his filth. We see Joshua here being clothed and taken care of. Because the righteous is known by God. Let me take you to another scripture area, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter number 1. Hey, preacher, we're not supposed to be turning. You're supposed to just tell us what these scriptures are. I want you to see this one. 1 John chapter 1. Notice down in verse number 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And notice this, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from how much sin? All sin. What am I saying? I mean, if you got the right blood on you, that makes the difference. We may not always do right, but if I got the right blood, it's not a license to sin. It's a license to liberty to do right. I've got the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm born again. I'm saved. When God sees me, he sees a difference between me and the next person who's not saved. There is a difference. Why? He said, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. There's a difference. There's a distinction. There's the delivered. I like this one. Go over to, since you're in 1 John, go over to chapter number 3. And I like this one. Now, this will blow your mind if you're not careful. 1 John chapter number 3. Come down to verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Notice this. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Know what he's saying? He's saying, because you're gods, you're going to start getting further and further away from sin. You're going to start separating yourself. You're not going to be an isolationist, but you're going to be a separatist. Amen. There's certain things that you're just not going to partake of because it's not right by God. Amen. I'm not going to do what everybody else does. I'm not going to get with the Joneses. Anybody here last name Jones? You can say stuff like that. Now Joneses are everywhere.
Amen.
But it doesn't stop there. Whosoever committeth sin. Notice the TH at the end, committeth. It means it's a continual action verb. It means not only are you doing it now, you're going to continue to do it. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. That means you can do sin without no heartfelt regret or sorrow at all against God. Hear me now. Man can catch you all day long. You can feel bad in front of man. Now, I'm talking about that. I'm talking about in front of God. Can you smoke it in front of God with a good heart? Can you drink it in front of God with a right heart? Can you lie in front of God with a good heart? Can you mock somebody, the word of God in God's eyes? Can you be immoral? Can you shack up in God's eyes? Can you do all these things in God's eyes? Hey, sin is the transgression of the law. And it's a way of practice, a way of life. Notice this, verse 5. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. So why are you dabbling with sin? Whosoever abideth in him. Notice this, sinneth not. He said, if you're born again, if you're saved, if you're in Christ, you sin not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Wow. So the Bible says that if you commit sin, in verse 8, you're of the devil. He that committeth sin, it's a way of life, it's a continual practice for you, without no conscience at all. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now get that one. He said, if you are born of God, you don't even commit sin. Say, preacher, how can that be? Because you've been accepted in the beloved. And so when God looks down, he doesn't see your sin. He sees his son. And if you're in him, he doesn't see your sin. Oh, yes, you're going to have problems down here with your sin. You're going to have some problems with fellowship with God. But you never will have a relationship because you're his. So when God looks down from heaven, he says, hey, look, that's my son. That's my child. But wait a minute, you better make sure of your calling and your election. Don't you try and claim on that verse if you're not born again. Don't you say, well, I'm walking in sin and things are going all right for me. No, they shouldn't be. They shouldn't be. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You should be unhappy in sin. Notice what it says down there in verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And this, the children of God are manifest, and the devil, and the children of the devil. Why? There is a separation. There is a distinction. The devil is comfortable in sin. God's children are not. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So he begins to go into Cain and Abel and talk about that situation. What is he saying? If you can walk in sin on a regular basis, habitually, without any conscience of God, without any fear of God, without any fear of retribution, if it bothers you not for God's sake, then you might not be saved. Now, I'm not going to say that you're not saved because God knows your heart. But I can tell you this, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. I can say that. And so we find here there is a way of the righteous. The righteous is delivered in spite of his foolishness, as we see in Lot's life. And the righteous is delivered in spite of his filth, as we see with Joshua's life. But then let's come down. Ephesians 1:6 says this, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I'm glad to be accepted in the beloved. Now, let's go back to Psalm 1. And God, with his watchful eyes, keeping an eye out for us like a mother does, but also, because we have an omnipotent God, an omniscient God, and an omnipresent God, do you know that he can watch your way and watch the ungodly's way at the same time? He says, the Lord knoweth the way of the ungodly, but the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So whilst God is looking at you and I as righteous, his eye is still on the ungodly, and the Bible says they shall perish. God's watchful eye also keeps a vigilant check on those not his own. Go back to that same mother at the park or the mall. The same mother sees some unruly, ungodly, unkept kid out there. You know what she begins to say? Come here, Johnny. See that one right there? You mean stay far away from him. Why? She sees him destroying the toys. She sees him destroying others and punching kids. You know what she's going to do? Johnny, you stay away from that kid right there. Why? She's not going to send her kid over there to get beat up. She's going to protect her child. So the same God who is watching his righteous is the same God who sees the ungodly. He sees them in their deeds. He sees them in their evil. He sees what they do. And we sit back and say, God, oh God, when are you going to judge them? And we should be saying, oh God, when are you going to save them? God, when are you going to save them? Because such were some of you. But ye are clean. But ye are washed. But ye are justified. So instead of saying, oh God, when are you going to judge him? God, when are you going to save him? Oh God, here am I, send me, use me, help me to be a witness. Amen. Why? Amen. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly, he sees as well. He sees them. Isaiah 53:6 says it like this, all we like sheep have gone astray, turned everyone to his own way. The way of the ungodly shall perish. Proverbs 15:3 says this way, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You and I also see evil and we see good. We wonder sometimes when God's going to save him, when God's going to judge him, when God's going to deal with him. Rest assured, God knows, God sees, and God pays. You may not always know when he pays. Sometimes we look at sinners and unjust people. We say, when are they going to get their day? Guess what? God knows when their day is going to get. Our job is just to be long-suffering and patient. Our job is just to pray for them. We see the ungodly ways and we want to know what's going on, Lord. Why are you not judging? There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. By the way, there are a lot of people in this world right now that see the gay movement as an alternative. They see it as right. But guess what? There is a way which seemeth right. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Now that the AIDS scare seems to be low now, homosexuality seems to be high. Because we've got cures and things like that. Because Magic Johnson came out and said, I'm HIV positive, and now he's advocating a safe sex. My friend, the only safe sex is in marriage. Right, amen. Amen. Preacher, I don't like that. I didn't ask you if you liked it. Right. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Amen. Hey, we're living in a nation now where ungodliness seems to be on the rise and righteousness seems to be on the low. My friend, the way of the ungodly is going to perish. The ungodly is going to perish. The word perish in the Gospel of John. Turn over to John chapter 3. Let me show you something here. Because in John chapter 3, you have Nicodemus coming to Jesus. We're talking about the way of the ungodly. There is the way of the ungodly, just there, like there's the way of the righteous. We find Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night in chapter number 3. And Jesus tells him in verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He repeats it down in verse 7. He says, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. What is he saying? He said, you know, the first time you're born physically as a person, the second time you've got to be born from above, God's Holy Spirit of God, which means you've got to repent of your sins, confess your sins, turn to God, recognize you're on your way to hell, and say, I want to be heaven bound and not hell sent. By the way, may I say to you this morning that God is not going to send anyone to hell? Preacher, he's not going to send any. That means we're off the hook. No, you send yourself there. You send yourself there. When I can go down a road that says bridge out, enter at your own risk, guess what? Nobody sent me to my death but me, myself, because I refuse to obey the sign. And foolish people still try to sue the city. The sign said, biggest day, bridge out, don't go that way. And they crash in the ditch. I'm going to sue the city because it should have been a bigger sign. Well, you should have just been able to read. Jesus told Nicodemus, you got to be born again. And he went on to say in verse 15, notice what it says, that whosoever, he's talking about the serpent being lifted up in the wilderness when people were bitten to get them well. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not, what's that word? Perish, but have eternal life. That word perish there means to destroy fully or to lose life or to die or to mar. In other words, he's saying that whosoever believeth on him, speaking of Jesus, should not be destroyed fully, should not lose their life, should not die, but have what? Eternal life. Notice verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish. What does that mean? To totally lose their life, to be destroyed fully, to die. Should not perish, but have what kind of life? Everlasting life. John 10:28, Jesus said it this way, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So Jesus is making it perfectly plain to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, if you're not born again, you're not going to make it. Nicodemus, there's a difference between you and everybody else. Everybody that is on this side is righteous and has the blood of Jesus Christ on their life. Nicodemus, everybody on your side is like the ungodly, and I know you as well as I know them, and there is a difference. Abraham said it this way, there's a gulf fixed between me and thee. Those that want to go on this side can't, and those that want to go on this side can't. Why? Hell is just that permanent. The lake of fire is just that permanent. And it's just that real. Preacher, God wouldn't do that. No, you do it to yourself. But there is a real judgment. We looked at that last week. There is a distinction between these two. However, there's always hope for the ungodly. 2 Peter states to the ungodly's man in 2 Peter 3:7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. There's hope. Go back to 2 Peter with me. And we're going to close with this. 2 Peter in chapter number 2. And notice verse number 7. I'm sorry, chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Speaking about the mockers and those that say God is not coming back, and he is. Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day, this is verse 8, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. God's just waiting for the last sinner to get saved. And there's hope for the ungodly. The Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is what? Long-suffering to usward, or toward mankind, not willing that any should, what's that word? Perish, but all should come to repentance. The Bible says, you know what, when it comes to the ungodly man and the righteous man, yes, there is a separation. Yes, there is a gulf. Yes, there is a difference. Yes, God can deliver the godly out of temptation. Yes, he can save him from those circumstances. Yes, he can deliver. Wait a minute, ungodly, you are not without hope either. God is just waiting. The Bible says Noah preached over 100 years, but still only 8 people got saved. All they had to do was go to the boat and get on with Noah and his family if they were right. But you know what? They mocked, they ridiculed, they didn't go. And they all were destroyed. My Bible says there's hope for the ungodly. God does not take joy in his creation suffering. But he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Notice verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. One thing about a thief, they don't want to be caught. They don't want you to know they're around. You know, you can be around someone dying, and you don't really know when death is going to snuff them out. Death can hang around them a little bit. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Death can just be over there and over here, and you don't know. It's like a thief stealing something. And then that last breath is up, and they're gone. The Bible says, hey, the day of the Lord is going to come just like that. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be gone. Everybody else is going to be the ungodly, the unrighteous, the unsaved. Because the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. He's going to rapture them out. But the way of the ungodly is going to perish through the fires and the torment of the Antichrist. Say, preacher, that's sad. It is. It is. You and I must be justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 4:5 says it this way, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You and I must be justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, or they say it this way, just as if I'd never sinned. That's how when God looks down on you that are saved, he doesn't see sin. He sees his son. Why? I've been accepted in the beloved. And yes, I may make some foolish decisions. I may find myself in some filthy circumstances and situations because of my own doing, but the Lord still knows me. And the Lord's not going to forsake his own. Romans 5:6 says, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. By the way, at one point, all of us were ungodly. We didn't have the Spirit of God. None of us were able to have enough strength to save ourselves. If so, we would have done so. Although many are trying and still will try, all will fail without the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that God will accept to get you from ungodly to godly. Get you from unrighteous to righteous. To get you from unsaved to saved. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us of all sin. When the time of judgment is set, the ungodly will not find himself written in the Lamb's Book of Life, as we saw last week, because he never trusted Christ as Savior. He toyed around with religion. He played with religion. He went to church. He sang in the choir. He played an instrument. He ushered. He taught a class. He drove a bus. He preached a gospel. He did a whole lot of things, but he never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And then God will have to say those horrible words, "Away from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." Because verse 6 back in Psalm says, "The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. But just as much as I know them, the way of the ungodly is going to perish." What side do you stand on today? I hope you stand with the godly. I hope you stand with the righteous. But friend, if you don't, it's still not too late. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Christian, yet we may find ourselves in some foolish decisions. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Maybe in some filthy situations. The Lord still will hear, and the Lord knoweth our way. Oh, he might beat you. But that's what a loving parent would do. Where do you stand? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around. As we stand here today, ponder verse 6 once again with me. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. In your heart, can you hear today say, "I am one of the righteous. I've been born again." Not have you been a church member. Not have you been baptized. Not have you made a decision. Not did you come forward. Not that you spoke in tongues, but is there a time in your life when you can say, "I was declared righteous because I repented, I turned from my sin, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior for the penalty of my sins. I believe in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and I'm believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trusting fully on him, nothing of myself." Because the Bible says we were without strength. I'm standing on Jesus Christ, and I'm accepted in the beloved. And if you could say, "That's me today, preacher. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm born again. I'm saved. My life bears fruit. I may not be always right, but I got the right blood." Why don't you give a testimony to God? Raise your hand and say, "I know I'm born again. I know I'm saved. No doubt in my mind." Don't raise it if you're not sure. Don't raise it if you're not sure. Amen. You may put it down. Hands going up all over the place. I may be honest enough to say, "Preacher, you know, if I died right now, I'm not sure. I may get caught up with that ungodly man, although I don't want to. I find myself in some of the situations like Lot. I find myself kind of foolish at sometimes with decisions I make. I find myself like Joshua. Sometimes I'm just filthy with sin, and I don't know if I'm saved. Would you pray for me, preacher? I want to get it settled. I want to get it right. Would you pray for me?" And you raise that hand saying, "Preacher, pray for me. I want to get it settled. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure if I die right now to go to heaven. I'm concerned. Pray for me, preacher." Anyone at all? You raise that hand saying, "Pray for me, preacher." Anyone at all? You're amongst people that love you and care. Just honest with God. By the way, the Lord still knoweth the way of the righteous. He still knoweth the way of the ungodly. And by the way, he knows who's saved in this room, and he knows who's not. And friend, you can walk out of here and get in a car accident. The person driving with you might be saved, and you might be lost, and guess what? You'll go to hell. That's not God's desire at all. Why? The Lord is long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish. Father,